You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back. We're back. We didn't get kicked off. I know we said it was our last show of 2017, but we got to do a whole other hour. Technical stuff happens, Bogman. It happens from time to time. So you guys got a little extra.
It happens
sometimes. This summer.
I don't know what happened. I swear I was not sabotaging the show, so I could watch the Longhorns game.
So apparently, we needed the FNTSY. Okay, thank you. We needed the FNTSY push of Sports Grid and Roto Grid, and the FNTSY is retweeting the poll because we're over 200 votes on it now. And holy crap, apparently when the masses get a hold of the polls, Jay Ajayi makes them angry because Jay Ajayi has taken over. There's over 200 votes in the, 10 minutes this has been up. And Jay Ajayi is 54% to DeMarco Murray's 46%, the biggest bust of 2017. But the anger it elicits, like the very first comment, some dude's like, "Who voted DeMarco Murray? You idiots!" Like, okay, and then everyone else is just tweeting like, Ajayi screwed me." So okay, maybe it was Ajayi was the biggest bust of 2017.
Well, Ajayi screwed people not only because they drafted him, but also because people had taken some of those Eagles backs like Corey Clement, Some people were like, "Oh, look at this. I got LeGarrette Blount. Oh, look at this. I got Corey Clement." And he came in and ruined that also. So I think he gets the hate from both sides, whereas DeMarco Murray haters are all just people that drafted DeMarco Murray.
Well, and, fair enough to the conversation. Like in one of our leagues that we do, it's one of our ITL-branded leagues. It's like the IDP league. I think I had Lev Bell and Ajayi. So I was walking into this season. I was like the Vince McMahon meme. I'm just walking. I got
swagger backs.
Yeah, I got swagger. I'm ready to go. And he kind of screwed me because I was in the hunt. And I think I made the playoffs in that league, and I got bounced in the first round. So that kind of affected me. But we're not going to. I mean, fantasy football is open. Nobody wants to talk to us, but if you want to talk fantasy football, you can call in 844-84-FNTSY. We are going to talk about Week 17 and some of the games.
We're going to
do that a little bit later in the show because we're going to talk a little bit fantasy baseball. And I'm taking part in – and Bogman, fair enough, you're like, "I wasn't invited." I think because it was like
–
well, it's kind of prospect-y, I think. That's my assumption.
Oh,
maybe
a little prospecty. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's some prospect guys in here, but
yeah, I don't know about prospects. So.
No, you do. You totally do. Fair point. To be honest with you, there's some crazy stuff that's happened in here, and you might have brought a little bit of sanity to some of it. But it's a 20-man dynasty that RotoWire is hosting. Industry guys from all across the table. There's Matt Modica from FNTSY. He's a part of it. You've got
Missouri
Ron Silver.
Score.
Justin Mason, also from FNTSY. We got a lot of people in there, this industry league, and it has been nuts. There's a player that has not played one inning of baseball in the majors that got drafted in the first round. Some of the best players lasted to the end, and that's only the beginning of it. So two rounds is completed. We'll talk a little bit about that, and you can interact with us. But don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, boys and girls. It's Santa, and I'm about as real as your chances at a title if you don't have the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I have 24-hour operation of elves making toys, and you should have a 24-hour network of experts working for you, offering the latest news, advice, analysis, and cheerful and joyful entertainment. You better have the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on your phone or tablet device. Merry Christmas.
In This League
is cooking.
We have the People's Show, People's Champ. And guess what? It's a little warning to you. This is a warning. This is why you want to listen to this show live. I know some of you guys get in your habit and you say, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to listen to this on the podcast. I'll listen in a couple days. No big deal. I can catch it." But stuff happens in the world. We had that little malfunction a little bit earlier. There's
little
no
hiccup.
Hour one. little hiccup, but it lost the recording of hour one. So guess what? You missed it. You missed us talking about the Deckard Balls special. And
I believe you called one of the segments the worst segment we'd ever done because Bavona was talking about Disney and I was talking about the Longhorns.
Yep, we lost the worst segment we ever did.
I don't think they missed much then.
We got trolled by a fake woman when we were talking about that women don't ever call our show, and then Pavona trolled us with a fake caller. You missed football talk, and yes, you missed a lot in the first hour, and you sat there saying, "Okay, well, I can listen to it on demand." But guess what? Make time out to listen to us live. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Join in the fun whenever you possibly can. Though Pavona did say he's got a couple promos for the first hour, and that is good stuff. So, a little fantasy baseball talk here. So, like I said, James Anderson from RotoWire, he kind of put this together. It's a 20-man standard, like 5x5. That's how it works. There are a bunch of ramifications as far as keepers go. This is a big-ass league. Like I said, there are 20 teams. There's coverage from Baseball Prospectus to The Athletic to in this league to, you know, it's all over the board. RotoWire, of course.
Everyone except Bogman.
Everyone but Bogman. Everyone but Bogman is involved in it. Standard 5x5, and it's all in the open for everybody to draft. I got the 18th pick, and it sucked. Now, how it worked, Boggs, and this is an interesting format, and I wonder if people for keeper leagues will do something like this in the future. There was a bidding system before this whole thing started where you could give up next year keepers to bid for a pick. So like you could, so I think there's, I'm just going off the top of my head, I want to say there's 35 keepers, 25-man roster in a 10-man minor league. You could say, I'm going to give up 10 keepers for the following year, so you'll only be able to keep 25 players after the first year, and I want pick one, and you could say da-da-da-da-da-da. So I did a very small bid on like 1 through 8, and then I just said, screw it. You know, after that, I'll just take my chance. And of course, I took my chance and I got pick 18, and it sucked because I didn't win any of my bids. The number one person, Eddie, I don't know his last name, Almaguer? I feel bad. Almaguer. I'm going to go Eddie Almaguer.
That sounds good. Yeah.
That does sound good. From Fake Teams, he bid 15 keeper spots. 15 of them.
So how many can he keep now? Only 10?
Only 20. 20 total only players. 20. And that means, and remember, there's a 25-man roster and a 10-man minor league. And you can't fill your roster completely until waivers is done. So you like, he's got 20 keepers. There's like a 5-person draft. He'll have 25 players. He's going to have to fill his roster the next year with 10 more players from waivers at the start of the season. Okay. But he got the number one pick, and he got Trout. Number two, Justin Mason. Justin gave up 12 of his keeper spots to have the second overall pick. He missed out on one. And then it goes down the line. So I'm not going to like tell every single person. Like I said, there are good people that are involved in this and whatnot. But here are the first 5 picks in this dynasty, and I want to get your take on it, and then we will eventually move down to, you know, me way down at the bottom when I had 18. The first 5 picks, no surprise, by the way, in a dynasty format, that Trout and Altuve go 1 and 2. That's easy right. stuff, and I completely agree with it. You're with me, Boggs?
Yes.
Okay. The one thing I might be willing to do is a player that went 3, which I wish I would have had 3, is Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, I might have taken
Harper's
2.
Really good too. Yeah. Okay. You can definitely, like, anywhere. I mean, Trout has to go 1 no matter what format you're doing or whatever. But Altuve and Harper, you can't miss there.
And Modica took Harper. George Bissell took Mookie Betts 4, and then Rob Silver had Trey Turner. So where do you sit on that? There was conversation. People didn't like that Turner went over Correa. Some people were looking at Arenado and Bryant that were still sitting out there. Turner seemed to be a divisive pick in this dynasty format, but he went 5 overall ahead of Correa as the number one shortstop.
Well, Betts, you know, Betts was the 2 overall pick last season in both formats, and he had a kind of an injury-plagued year, and his numbers were still pretty solid. So I don't mind him going at 4 at all. And, you know, Trey Turner is a risky pick, but, you know, it's a dynasty draft, and he has just a ton of upside. So I don't hate that one either. I don't hate him going over Correa. Arenado may be more of a sure thing. Chris Bryant and Goldie, you know, more of a sure thing. But I don't mind taking Trey Turner 5 overall, even a little bit.
I'm okay with it. I kind of, I don't know, I feel like I might have taken a Correa, Bryant, or Arenado ahead, but I get the construction. And with the dynasty,
speed is
really
so hard to come by.
It is. It really, you're 100% right. But, and we're about to kind of get into this. The balance here, Boggs, as you know, and everyone knows, it, and especially in a 20-man, which makes it wild. Plus, this is industry. There's no, like, you know, there's no stragglers. You know, you get like a 12-man league, there might be a couple stragglers. That's not happening here. There's no stragglers in this freaking league. It's all over the board. Freaking Clay Link, Bloomfield, DVR, it's a madhouse.
But Clay Link did follow me today. So,
oh, he did?
Yeah, he followed me back finally. So I did get that out of this, if I'm not going to be included. Can I adjust this? I'm just going to put my name next to yours. Is that good? I'm going to be like Ben Affleck when him and Matt Damon wrote, what was the movie with Robin Williams? Got to go see about a girl. Come on. Do you like apples?
Yeah, Good Will Hunting.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Pavona. Yeah, appreciate it.
No, it's funny. There's a big co-commissioner thing. James from RotoWire, he brought on Ian Conn. You know, Ian Conn is on that TV show where he plays like Lincoln.
I thought it was called Star Trek.
Yeah.
Conn!
It's an interesting league. So, but the balance becomes, how do you work with, are you trying to win now? Are you trying to play for the future? Are you just trying to put together the same team? And that happened in this draft where you have, obviously, Eddie and Justin committed themselves to saying, I want to win this league right now. The future doesn't matter. And they mortgage their future pretty heavily with the picks. But there's also a guy or two that might say, I'm not sure I'm going to compete, so I'm comfortable going, you know, on the low end of prospects and stuff, and that happened. So let's get through this. Starting at 6 through 10, you had Correa, Clay, our boy Clay, took Carlos Correa. Ryan Bloomfield, he took Nolan Arenado. DVR from RotoWire took Chris Bryant. Chris Blessing took Paul Goldschmidt at 9, which I thought was a huge value. And Brett Sayer took Francisco Lindor. So what stands out on this as far as Dynasty goes? I was praying, like, ooh, maybe everyone will just not want Goldie because he's a little bit older. I thought Goldie at 9 was, like, killer.
Yeah, that's all these are pretty good values. I think that Arenado, Bryant, and Goldie, while they're older than Lindor and Correa, of course, are much more sure, solid things for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, but you could get, you know, 7 to 10 good years out of Lindor and Correa. I mean, possibly even more. They're both still super young. So I like all these picks. I don't think that anything is surprising or, you know, why would you take this guy over that guy at all?
Not yet. Exactly.
Not yet.
So I'm going to give you the next two picks, and then we'll talk about where things go off the rails. So Matt Winkelman took Corey Seager, which that one, then these next two picks, these two Dodgers, J.P. Breen took Cody Bellinger, and it wasn't super well received for some reason, Seager and Bellinger, which, to be honest with you, I was like, is there any way Bellinger will fall to 18 to me? Because I would be all about that. But there was some kickback about those two picks.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually get the kickback, and I think I'm actually kind of on the side of the kickback because I like these two guys, but I think they probably should have been, like you said, 18 to 20 or closer in there because there's the next, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys, 5 out of the next 6 guys, I would have taken over both of those dudes.
And it's funny, our boy Justin Mason, Friends of Fantasy Benefits, and he also does Tout Wars. He did a breakdown of grades. He did an emoji grade.
I like that. It was
good. Did like it a lot. He did a good job on it. And he gave Seager the face, like the big eyes and the red cheeks, like, oh boy. And then Bellinger, the hand over the face. So those were not approved picks by Justin Mason. Now, here's where and here's where the big coverage is. And by the way, if you want any written coverage, Eddie from Fake Teams, he already posted up an article talking about the first round. We all gave some words about who we took in the first round. You can go read our thought process through it. And it's a good write up. But this is what everyone's going to focus on. And, you know, whoever's going to be talking, you probably hear about on Tout Wars. You're probably going to hear in a RotoWire everywhere is pick 13. This is where stuff got crazy. And maybe I'll tease it. I'm going to tease what it is because we're going to go to break here. Pick 13 was our Kim Kardashian and broke the internet. Tom Trudeau and Greg Wellemeyer they went off the rails and they said, and they're Dynasty Guru guys, and their philosophy was always punt the first year. I want to get your thoughts on that. That's their philosophy in Dynasty. Always punt the first year. They did that with what they did in the first round, and we're going to talk about it when we come back. Punting, all of that stuff, it's all going down. More fantasy baseball talk on the other side of this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to SteinerSports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to SteinerSports.com/box today.
Does your favorite fantasy sports show pair banging on the table, demanding shots?
Drinks on Greg. Drinks on Greg. Drinks on Greg.
With deep, smart Kareem Hunt analysis? If not, then I think the Fantasy BFFs are for you. Every weekday at 11 a.m. here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on YouTube Live, join Greg Sussman, Frank Stanfill, Mike Florio, and NXT wrestler Eric Young for some of the best, most enjoyable, most imaginative fantasy analysis out there. Don't get your fantasy from boring people.
Yo! This is the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever.
Check out the Fantasy BFFs 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Every weekday, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and the Fantasy Sports YouTube page. Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Welcome back. In this league. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome, baby. Longhorn scored a touchdown during the break on defense. Anthony Wheeler picked it up, ran it right in for a score. 21-7 Horns.
Recover fumble? That's right. Is that what it was?
Yep, that's what it was.
So you're in a good mood, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, let's talk some baseball then. We're talking fantasy baseball. We're talking the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational. And we left off the first 12 picks. Trout, Altuve, Harper, Betts, Turner, Correa, Arenado, Bryant, Goldschmidt, Lindor, Seager, Bellinger. No major surprises, though there are some names that have not been taken yet, especially in a Dynasty format. You know, we still haven't said Machado. We didn't say Stanton. There's a couple others. You haven't said Kershaw. But pick 13. Tom Trudeau, Greg Wellmeyer, take Ronald Acuna, 13 overall. And, you know, they talk about this a lot, and they say their mindset is always punt the first year in Dynasty, which, in theory, there's logic in it, that you can build this team without, like, fear of, you know, roster construction necessarily. You're just taking all the best pieces and you try to work it out after the fact. But that is counter to how I treat things. I'm a prospect guy. I host Prospect One, my podcast. You can go check it out. And I've always had the mindset that I talked with this about with James. I know and I'm comfortable with my minor league drafting skills. I'm going to be able to piece some really good pieces that can take over for the future. I've done it in multiple keeper leagues. I did it where I have had Miguel Cabrera for years, but I drafted Bryant and Devers. So I'm not with this at all. Bogman, talk to me about Ronald Acuna at 13 overall and talk to me about the strategy of always punting year one.
I hate it. I can't stand that stuff. I guess... if that's the way you want to play it, that's the way you want to play it, and that's fine. It's your strategy. But I would, like, if you want to punt year one, that's fine. But why wouldn't you take Giancarlo Stanton there and trade him for a bunch of picks, you know? or take your first round pick and trade it for a second and a third somewhere, or maybe a two, a three, and a four. You could probably get something like that if people are openly willing, if they're willing to give up keepers. How about add some depth instead of adding young guys? I mean, maybe Ronald Acuna is going to be the next Mike Trout. I know he probably has that type of upside. Would you say that, the Welsh? He's really good, right?
The upside really, really is there. Prospect. Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to do the whole, but I'm going to do it anyways. I've seen Ronald Acuna more than a lot of people. I mean, because he was out here in the Arizona Fall League. I saw him. I can't even count the number, but it's double-digit
times.
Times
than anybody else. I've seen all of his arm bands.
But I'm just saying, like, I've been there in pre-practices. I've seen him in 5 to 7 BPs. I see him after the game. I see him during the games. And he's an incredible talent.
More than his talent is, okay, so people were saying this stuff about Buxton a couple years ago. And granted, 100%. Buxton had played much, much better in the second half. He got drafted really, really high in this draft in the second round. He didn't work out for half a year, and we don't know for a year and a half, and we don't know if he's going to work out. Now, the other guys, I'm looking at 2014. Carlos Correa obviously worked out. Chris Bryant obviously worked out. Lindor was very, very good. But Addison Russell was in there. Joey Gallo was in there. Miguel Sano was in there. Archie Bradley. Lucas Giolito. You know, so some of these dudes. Dude, Henry Owens was a top 20 prospect.
He's awful.
So these guys just don't work out. And some of the guys come up and are really good, like Jock Peterson, and then all of a sudden can't find it.
Well,
so,
and you know,
I'll take an established player 100 times out of 100 if I have that pick.
And the problem, and then the, you know, the counter for them is, you know, this year I think Acuna could suffer more struggles than people are preparing themselves for. He can get long in a swing. I think he can get slumpy. He can get over aggressive in at bats, you know, based on what's happening. And the more he gets behind, I think that's going to make him more ultra aggressive. So you're going to need pitchers to make mistakes late in games if he's having an early bad game, and just maturity is going to help that. So that's that. But then you have a team that's openly saying, well, we're punting. We are going to punt the first year of Dynasty and build from there. So what do they care? They're taking the ultra talent. And there were already rumors that he wasn't going to be available
Texas
in the first
round.
Texas
just got the ball back.
Oh, Jesus. But there were rumors that he wasn't going to be available later in this draft. Believe me, I was giving consideration maybe in the second round, pending what was going out there. I don't think I would have ever pulled the trigger, but I was giving thought about it. They took their best player, but what they did, here's some players. I'm going to give you the next four players right up until my pick that went. Manny Machado went to Matt Thompson from Friends of Fantasy Benefits with the pick 14,
Manny Machado,
which I thought was
after Acuna.
I thought that was just, it was insane. James Anderson took Freddie Freeman. James Anderson and Ian Kahn took Freddie Freeman. 16, Melissa Lockhart from The Athletic took Giancarlo Stanton, which broke my heart because I was really wanting him. And 17 went Aaron Judge. All of those guys went behind Ronald Acuna. And even if you're building a dynasty and you're punting first year, I'm all good with that. But, I mean, Manny Machado is a borderline first-round pick right now. Giancarlo Stanton might hit 65 homers this year, and Aaron Judge hit 50. I try to work it out on my brain to say, well, how much for – is Acuna really going to be the next Trout? Is that what you fully believe, and you're willing to pass up what you can call proven talent at this point?
Yeah, there's no way I can do it. I mean, there's just too many of these guys flame out for me to take a risk on a guy that hasn't played. You know, I know – you know, Stanton won the National League MVP this season, and I know he's had a lot of injury stuff. And look, I don't know if there's anyone that's harder on him than I am during the preseason talking about Giancarlo Stanton. But the guy could hit 70 homers. Aaron Judge had the most homers a rookie has ever had in Major League Baseball history this season, and now he gets to hit behind Stanton. So...
and listen, I point this
out. That's a guy that I would take, too. And Machado is, like, Machado is what you hope Acuna is going to be. So,
yeah, well, yeah, I mean, in theory, you're right about that. I think people, when you look at Acuna and you look at his skill set, it mirrors, to be honest with you, it's less Trout. It's probably more like Bryce Harper with more speed type of thing. It's an aggressive, violent swing that is going to just mash power. I don't know if it's going to be 40-plus power. I would kind of doubt it. I could see him jumping into 30. He always seems to – he has a knack for the ball. He's super fast and stuff like that. But to your point, coming again, of regardless if you're punting or not, you have this ability to go get a Manny Machado or Giancarlo Stanton, and if it's not quite working out or you're not happy with the setup, you could probably take Giancarlo Stanton. Maybe you're not going to get Acuña. So there's the understanding. If you have bought in, you've bought in. Tom Trudeau also admitted, I don't know if this was a two for one, and if it is, like, I wish I played in these leagues. But he admitted that he traded Goldschmidt and Kluber to get Acuña. And I don't know if he traded both of those pieces in a dynasty for Acuña or not. So that's someone that's all in.
The worst trade I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But it's someone that's committed to their idea that what I do when I see Stanton and it doesn't work and you're not happy with the keeper ability, if you're so good with prospects, you can look ahead into the future and you could probably get a haul for any of these guys and make sure you're targeting. I mean, people valued Kevin Maiton last year over Ronald Acuña. You could take Stanton and get Kevin Maiton plus a big major leaguer and probably two other prospects and picks. I mean, that's the type of stuff you can do. So I disagree with every element of Acuña going 13 outside of giving credit to say this is just their guy. They're fully bought in. A lot of people are bought in. I'm bought in on Acuña being the talent that he is, and that he's going to be a great, great fantasy asset. I would guess, and I like Buxton right now, by the way. I would guess he's going to be better than Buxton by an easy shot. But there's some serious talent that was passed up on.
Right. All right, so come on, man. Like I said, Stanton just won the most valuable player. And Ronald Acuña, who hasn't taken one at-bat in the big one, I mean, it's just insane to me.
It was crazy.
It's too much.
So I'd pick 18, which sucked, in a 20-man. But after this happened, when around 16, you know, Acuña kind of broke everything, and Machado went, and I was like, oh, that's a bummer. 16, Melissa Lockhart, she took Giancarlo Stanton, and that really bummed me out. What I then was staring at was Clayton Kershaw still on the board. Charlie Blackman is still on the board. And Aaron Judge was on the board. And I was really looking hard at those guys, as well as Anthony Rizzo, by the way. And those were the guys I honed in on. Well, Aaron Judge goes 17, and I sat there and I said, well, no pitcher's gone, and Clayton Kershaw's here. Chris Sale's there. Charlie Blackman, who is like an almost consensus top five pick in redraft this year, he is there. And I polled everybody. You and I talked, and you said you were kind of leaning Charlie Blackman, most likely hitter, a little bit safer, though he's older. He's going to be 32 midseason.
Yeah, I just, to be honest, most of the time, I'm just going to lean towards the bat.
It's understandable. So. And many people did that. I went Clayton Kershaw with the 18th overall pick. And Eddie was very excited about it, hit me up, because I broke the mold there for the pitchers. And I just, in a 20-man league, getting Clayton Kershaw at 18, and he's only 30 years old. I mean, he's going to be 31 in LA, or he's going to turn 30 at the beginning of the season, I believe, or 31. Doesn't matter.
There's one best hitter and one best pitcher in baseball, and you got one of those two at pick 18.
I was happy. I was super happy and kind of shocked at it. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the last two picks, and then we'll move to the second round, and then we'll finish out with some Week 17 fantasy football. My thought with Clayton Kershaw was maybe I'm going to get lucky, because maybe the two guys behind me are going to value age a little bit more, and then maybe, just maybe, Rizzo or Blackman could fall back to me. That's what I was banking on. Well, the first two picks – or the last two picks in the first round, Ralph Lipschitz from Fangraphs, from Razzball, he took Gary Sanchez, which that got the not seal of approval from Justin Mason in the emoji tweets.
I saw the back and forth there. That was pretty funny. I mean, not many catchers hit 33 homers, but still taking a 278 hitter in the first round.
Well, and Craig Goldstein. Yeah, Craig Goldstein took Jose Ramirez to end out the first round. So that was the first round. Who are some of the players? Yeah, I like that too. I was thinking about him. A lot of good players available. And we'll talk about that on the other side of who went, and where I went.
Hey, it's Tony Sicada telling you about a new show, Fantasy Football Rewind. Catch it late night on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Starts at 1 a.m. on the East Coast, 10 p.m. on the West Coast. It's 2 hours of fantasy football action. I'll give you all the latest news in fantasy football. I'll talk about all the things that happen on the channel throughout the day. I'll tell you who's right, who's wrong. Fantasy Football Rewind. If you can't stay up that late, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Fantasy Football Rewind.
It's In This League.
come back with me.
Where?
Back to in this league.
Great Scott.
Great Scott.
We're as back. Alive looking at Tom Trudeau's draft. We've got to go back.
Great.
Take Stanton. Scott.
I'm going to give it 1 second because, or maybe he responded to me. Eddie Almaguer. I need him on just so I can make sure I'm saying it properly. I hate when I say things improperly, which happens all my life. That's why I live a distasteful life and really angry all the time because I'm saying things wrong. He brought up a great point that I want to talk about, but I did tell him, hey, if you want to call in right now, and I let him make the point. But we'll talk about it here in just a second because I think it's a great point on Tom and Greg's Acuna pick. So we ended, and we'll kind of end this. This is the last segment we're going to do as far as baseball. We'll do a little bit football on the end or whatever we leave. Or I don't know. I mean, I'm having too much fun talking.
It's week 17. Right now, so.
Yeah, it's week 17.
It's week 17. It doesn't matter. So, and everyone's hurt, and the lines are weird. Players aren't going to play. It's strange. So
exactly. So I got is that – let's see. Oh, yeah. We got Eddie. Okay, perfect. So Eddie's – let's get Eddie on. Eddie Almaguer from Fake Teams is on with us. Eddie, how much am I butchering your last name?
So much.
It's a common thing. It's hard. So to set the record straight, it's Almaguer, like gorilla.
Almaguer. Okay.
Almaguer. I think that's what the Welsh said first, and then he's changed about six times.
It's just like, it's like it becomes that uncomfortability where I'm like, oh, am I saying this right? Nope, I'm probably not. And it's gone. We're completely done. So, Eddie, you can find Eddie writing over at Fake Teams. You also cover the St. Louis Cardinals prospects for Prospects. Was it 1500? Is that how you say it? Prospects 1500?
Yep, you got it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I actually like all the stuff that they're doing. We all have the prospect name. And so, Eddie, we were talking earlier. I know you heard some of it and you brought up a great point here. You had the first pick. You know what? I want really quick, since you're taking the time to call us, run me through your idea, because I feel like you and I, though you went a little bit more aggressive, are in the same realm of wanting to win now, which is completely counter to what Tom and Greg did. Just really quickly, I know you wrote a really great article that I promoted earlier for people to check out, but just in a couple words here, what was your thought process of mortgaging so much of the future to make sure you got Mike Trout in this type of a dynasty format?
Yeah, so this was my first experience doing that invisible hand strategy. And, you know, I had nothing to base it off of, except I went back and found that TDGX, the Dynasty Guru Expert League that started up a few years ago, used the same format. So I went and saw that the number one pick there went for 15 spots. And I thought, okay, that's kind of the baseline. Some of these guys already did that league. Let me just up it a little bit. Let me go to... I think I started with 17, and I really wanted the third overall pick. And then I thought, you know, let me just throw one more for Trout, and, you know, I won't get it. I honestly did not think I would get it. And then James Anderson reveals the list. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I was ultra aggressive. I'm almost glad I landed that first pick as opposed to the second or the third, because I would have been like a buffoon if I had landed the second or third pick with, like, 16, I think is what I bid.
What, did you give up 8? Was it 18 for the first?
Yep, 18.
I think it was 15. I think it was Justin that gave up 15 for the second pick. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. That's it. Yeah. 18 and plus the 5, so that means I'm losing 23 keepers heading into 2019. This is a Marlins-style fire sale that happened.
Yeah, you are committed to winning right now, so it's understandable that you did that.
I need to win 2018, man. I need it to happen.
You really need to.
You do. You really, really do. And, Bogman, what do you think about that, that type of mortgaging? I mean, we are all in agreement here. I mean,
I give up a couple to move up a couple spots, but to be honest, the Welsh, you asked me this question when this started, and – we play a lot of fantasy sports. We play a lot of football. We play a lot of basketball. But baseball is kind of the number one. But in baseball, you have the biggest rosters. So depth is more important in baseball than it is in any other sport. So I'm not really keen on giving up my depth to get good players, even the best players.
Well,
because
future depth, at least. It's not this year, but it's the future.
Right.
Next year is going to be a problem outside of probably like the plan, Eddie, is you got to dominate.
Depth doesn't matter. Yeah, like you have to have depth from year to year. So it's not a strategy. I understand it, but it's not something I would ever do. So when you asked me this question, I said, I don't think I'd give up anything to do that. I'd rather pick last. And you kind of, I mean, you didn't get dead last.
I went minimal.
Kind of
yeah, Eddie,
last.
Like I went, right. I think I put a bit of like, I knew I wasn't getting the first pick, but I put a bit of, and how I sent it was like five picks for one through three, and then four through like four picks for like four through six. And then I think I said two picks through, you know, seven and eight or something like that. And then at nine, I just said, screw it. I'm not bidding anything. I'll let happen whatever happens. And then I got 18. But what were you going to say, Eddie?
Well, let me give you two sides of the coin here. First, and I think in the article I broke it down originally about, you know, talking about the draft picks. I think Clay Link drafted six overall, and I think he only gave up like four picks, and he got Correa. I mean, honestly, yeah. Had I known that in hindsight, I easily would have gone that route.
Yeah, and you know what? On the inverse to me too, Eddie, I would have bid five had I known I could get six and I could get Correa. I think I would have been that comfortable in knowing I could get Correa.
Exactly.
So on both ends.
Exactly. But you know, and Bob, when you talked about the depth here, but I guess, so we got 40-man rosters here. So if I'm giving up 23 of them, I know 10 of them are minor leaguers. I'm almost going to completely ignore minor leaguers until the final rounds of this draft because I know they're almost all getting the boot. That leaves me with 30 major leaguers to worry about. So I got to cut down 13 of those. So how many of those are going to be, you know, relievers that don't close, middle infielders that show up every, you know, a couple of games? So I'm going to keep 17 core players, which of course is not as much as I want to, but it's still 17 damn good players. You know, there's so much filler, so much crap, if you will, at the back end of a 20 team league that I'm not going to break my heart if I don't keep, I don't know, name someone from the Padres if I don't keep them, you know?
yeah, exactly.
Anyone from the Padres, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, and you know what? Eddie, that is a fantastic breakdown. I love your response on that because I think it like makes a lot of sense. Now, you tweeted us because we've already broken down the first round for everybody. You know, those last picks, like I said, after the Acuna 13 overall, Machado, Freddie Freeman, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge. I was the only one to take a pitcher in the first round, but I got freaking Clayton Kershaw at 18, Gary Sanchez, and Jose Ramirez. That's the first round. Now, I want to blow through the second round real quick because I want to give Eddie, I want you to bring up your point real quick. So Byron Buxton was the first pick in the second round, which I was considering. Anthony Rizzo went 19, who I was considering. But as I wrote to Eddie, I said, my dream scenario is that Blackman falls back to me. And I'm staring with the third pick in the second round. Charlie Blackman is there, who I almost took over Kershaw. So I've got Clayton Kershaw and Charlie Blackman. Then it went Bregman, Anthony Rendon. Chris Sale went to James Anderson. Joey Votto. Tom Trudeau and Greg, what they did, and this is where the conversation that Eddie brought up, is they committed. They took Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with this their second round pick, having two players that have zero major league experience. Then Benintendi, Kluber, Devers, Wilson Contreras, Max Scherzer, J.D. Martinez, George Springer, Josh Donaldson, Victor Robles, Noah Syndergaard, D. Gordon, and Eddie took Steven Strasburg for his pick in the second round. Now, Eddie, I'm going to throw it to you to your poignant tweet that you sent to me about the coverage of what they could, what Tom and Greg could have done. So tell us what you tweeted me.
So, you know, you guys spoke about kind of the audacity of taking Acuna when Manny Machado was right there. So, I mean, I guess if you're Tom and Greg, you're trying to go young, obviously, you know, with Acuna and Vladdy. But you could have taken Machado, and then they went up again and could have taken Andrew Benintendi. Andrew Benintendi is 23, Machado is 25. These are two super young studs, near superstars, that could pretty much accomplish what you want Vladdy and Acuna to do for you in 2 to 3 years, but do it right now. So you can be flexible enough to build a superstar team around them, or if you still want to blow it up, these two guys, Machado and Benintendi, are still young enough to, you know, rebuild with. So it was kind of weird given what was on the board there, what they could have done versus what they actually did.
Eddie, that's a fantastic point, and I can't agree with you anymore. Like, or, you know, there's so many different strategies you could do. You could take the really good players and trade them for future picks, or it's, you know, depth.
Or guess
something.
What, Bogman? Those players. I could not agree with Eddie anymore at all, because guess what? You accomplish, you taking Manny Machado and Benintendi, I gave heavy consideration to taking 18 overall. Heavy consideration to taking. And I probably would have seriously considered him with my second pick had Blackman not been there. So you could have taken Manny Machado and Andrew Benintendi, and guess what? If things go south, you could go and trade those guys. And I would say, do you really think you could acquire that much less or any less than you would Acuna for those two players? I don't think so. I think most people would probably trade Acuna for Machado. I mean, Eddie, do you agree with that?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Listen, Benintendi just went 20-20. Machado it had completely bad batted ball luck last year, and I see no reason why he can't get back to being a top 10 fantasy asset. So that's the thing. You don't even have to trade away those guys if things go south. You can keep them, and if you tell yourself, hey, I'm going to give myself a three-year window to get competitive again, guess what? Machado's 28. Benintendi's still 26. You're good to go.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. Hey, Eddie, we're going to break here. We're about to get out of the show. I love that you tweeted me. We're just becoming best friends over the last, like, 48 hours, so it's amazing. Give us a little plug on what's going on. You wrote a great article on the first round over at Fake Teams. Give us your Twitter handle and give us where tell us where people can look for that article.
Yeah, man. So if you guys want to butcher my name some more, you can find me on Twitter at EDDY. That's Eddie with a Y, man, not the IE. EDDYALMAGUER, Eddie Almaguer, or just find me on Fake Teams at Fake Teams, just how it's spelled. Marketing fantasy stuff there, man. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy being on with you guys. Thanks for having
me. That's perfect, Eddie. Well, I'm going to get you on Prospect One. We can talk some prospects, and we'll get you on again. Great, great analysis from Eddie. Thank you so much, and go check out that article. See you, buddy.
See you, Eddie.
All right, great. Take it easy, guys.
Absolutely. Perfect. Impromptu stuff. Eddie was listening.
Jumped in.
We get that call in. We get at it. It's a beautiful thing.
That was wonderful.
All right.
Hey, man.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Eddie. See you, buddy. All right. We're coming back. One last tiny little segment. Maybe we'll kind of wrap this in a bow, Bogman. We'll wrap up the second round.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
In this league.
The biggest riser, and that's got to be Adam Thielen. I mean, Adam Thielen was going in a decent spot before, but Adam Thielen is going to move himself up where he was probably... You remember the preseason when I was touting Adam Thielen and you were giving me crap about it?
No.
It definitely happened. And that was part of the reason why I had my early season bad calls on Stephon Diggs.
They were both pretty decent. It's just weird to see how good the wide receivers from that offense have been when we know they're mainly a rushing team.
Wednesdays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In this league.
In the dark.
Friends do listen to Endless Love in the dark, even when they're drafting in 20-man dynasties. Even if they're going to take Ronald Acuna and Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, listen.
Even
like
if they're butchering
before,
people's names.
Even if they're butchering people's names. Even if Eddie Alma, I already forgot. I can't pronounce it properly. I hate it. But I want to say Almaguer. That's right, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Eddie. Respect. Mad respect. Eddie's listening. Our boy Matt Modica, who is part of RDI, he was also listening in. He enjoyed the conversation. It's a great conversation. This is what it's all about. I'm going to post this up on the podcast feed, just what we did today, because I think it was a really good conversation. And regardless, like, listen, I'm making it out, you know, maybe more dramatic than it is, because listen, like, I was considering Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the second round, but I immediately got off that because guess what? I'm competing. I got Clayton
because
Kershaw
Charlie
and Blackman.
Blackman was still there. That's why. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like we said off the break, I didn't know 100% of the rules because I obviously was not invited to this league. But
do you want to be
now that I kind of. Yeah, now that I'm involved and I'm the Welsh's co-manager, I'm the Welsh's hype man. So I'm the guy that rents the smoke machines when you win the championship and come in with the glasses on. And I say, here is your 2018 champion, the Welsh!
Go!
Yeah.
By the way,
I'm
you know what
guy.
I was looking for? By the way, I have to go search for
By
it.
The way.
When I was taking Clayton Kershaw, I was looking for the picture of me and Clayton together.
I thought you were going to post that. I couldn't find the shaky hand cam and everything. So
yeah, exactly. I couldn't find it. So yeah, so it's interesting. Like I said, the whole way through, there's some strong. We're already in the third round, by the way, if people are wondering. Speaking of Matt Modica, we're only a couple picks in, but Modica broke my heart a little bit, though I don't know if I could have taken him in what I'm doing. But he took Shohei Ohtani, if people are wondering.
Just always have the most unrealistic expectations of players to follow you, especially in a 20-man. Like, you know Ohtani's not falling back to you, and you're like, damn it, I can't get Ohtani.
I commit, no.
15 picks away. From Ohtani.
I was okay. I had accepted it. I had accepted that. When I took Charlie Blackman, I said it in our ITL GroupMe room. I said, I'm not getting Ohtani. That was the commitment to it, but it was too strong. I mean, in the first two rounds of this thing, remember, 20 teams. There's some strong teams. I think I've got to be up in the top three. I've got Charlie Blackman and Clayton Kershaw. I think I'm up there. Let's take a look. If you see any, you can jump up. I think Matt Thompson's, Joey Votto, and Manny Machado, I think that is pretty damn strong.
And if you're going to risk young guys, like I like kind of like George Bissell's pick of Victor Robles, because Robles is the guy that Ronald Acuna was last season.
And he paired him with Mookie Betts.
And that's the thing. Like, if you want to take a risk on a young guy, I understand it. I get it. And I might even do it in some situations, probably not in most, but get an established guy first. And,
you want to know who might have a killer team, Boggs? DVR.
Who's that?
Chris Bryant and Max Scherzer. I mean, Max Scherzer's old. He's 34 years old, so there's that in Dynasty. But he got Bryant and Scherzer. I mean, that is
He has Bryant strong. And Scherzer and those golden pipes. That's not fair to have all three.
100% agree with you. So if you guys want to follow, there is a link that you guys can check out. I've tweeted out. James Anderson's tweeted out. All the guys that are involved in this, I mean, we're all going to be tweeting about everybody, but Bogman is going to be tweeting about this thing. Silver,
not me,
Clay Link. Not Ryan involved. Bloomfield, you can find it. There's a Google
smoke machines.
I mean, you're gonna be a great hype man, though. You're gonna be like the best hype man.
Yeah, I'm gonna get drunk and cry.
I want to follow
it.
This is not amazing. If you want to follow, there's a Google sheet that you can follow the whole draft. You can check out Eddie's first round breakdown over at Fake Teams. I highly suggest you do. And like I said, everyone will be covering it. I expect you'll hear it from Clay and James Anderson. And tune into the ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast. In this league Fantasy Baseball Podcast, I'm going to post this up as a bonus episode.
Half of us are invited to Giant Leagues.
Yeah, but we're back. We're breaking down a 10, 12, and 16-man mock draft just for 2018.
Just a 12 and 16.
We're gonna be breaking that. Oh, no 10? We didn't have a 10.
No 10.
All right. Well, for Scott Bogman, I am Chris Welsh. Thank you to Eddie for calling in. Guys, we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.